So it turns out that death is a normal course of life here on earth, because all of us are dying. The suffering comes when we refuse to die. I mean, even when we were born, at the moment we were born, we had to die to the warmth of our mother's womb. We're thrust into the cold world outside of the mother's womb, into a different life. But we first had to die to the life that we had that was so safe. Well, isn't that evil? That the babies in the wombs are no longer safe. In any case, we had to die to that safety of our mother's womb, the warmth of her womb, and thrust it into the cold world. First death, you see? And that's life. And isn't it ironic that when we first born, they made sure that we cry? I mean, if we don't cry, if the babies don't cry, there's trouble, right? So if the baby don't cry, I understand. I've never been at the birth. But I understand that the doctors or the nurse will spank the baby, get the baby going, you know. So this is the beginning of our life. Death. And tears. And then isn't it true that as we grow a little older and start to walk, what's happening there? We have to die to the fact that we have been held close to the bosom of our mother every moment of our day, nursed as her breast. And now we have to let go of that and started to walk. And we fall over and over and over again. But eventually, we live that new life of a toddler. But we first have to die to the life of a baby. You see? Turns out that we've been dying all along. And then we grow up a little more. Then we have to die to the fact that we can do no wrong. You know, as a toddler, we can do this and that, and everybody, even when we do something wrong, mom would say, what? Isn't he cute? You know? Even though we've been throwing, making a mess, doing, you know, isn't she cute? Oh, we have to die to that. And now when we become older, now it's like, no, don't do this. Do this. You are wrong. Stop this. See, we have to die to the life where we can do no wrong, to the life where we have to learn the limit of who we are, the limit of things around us, the limit of life itself. See, it's a death. And there we go, to the new life. And as we grow older, isn't it true that we go to school and friends become so important to us? You know, sometimes at that age, friends are even more important than family, because, of course, we take family for granted. But friends, boy, they're everything. And pretty soon, we have to die to those friends too, because we grew up and go to different schools. We go to different colleges. And of course, we say, oh, we'll keep in touch, you know. And how rare it is. How many of you still have friends from your high school? Very rare. Because we go on with life. Because we have to die to those friendships. We have to die to that environment of being a teenager and move on to the life of a young adult, making bigger decisions, and how hard that is. But we have our freedom. We can make our own decision, for better or for worse. We do. And then we have to die to that too when we get married. I mean, I have young couples coming in and say, "Father, something is wrong with us." They say, "What's wrong with you?" And the wife, young wife, would say, "Father, we've been married for 2 years and my husband still, every week, get together with his buddies and go to a bar." What's going on there? Well, that young man is refusing to die. He's refusing to die to the life of a single man. You see? He's no longer a single man. He's a married man. And yet he's acting as if he was single because he refused to that death. So I had to lower the boom on him. You know? "What's wrong with you? You're not single anymore. You have a wife. You're going to have children soon. Get with it. Die." I didn't say that, but that's the message. Die. Die to your single life so you can live your married life. See? That's when the Lord said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." He's describing the reality of us. It is when we refuse to die that we become stunted, that we stop growing, that sufferings start. And then I can go on. I mean, after you're married, you have children, you know, and then you have to worry about work. And then you get used to work. Believe it or not, people love their work. Some people make work their God. Work day and night, make a lot of money. And then when they get older, they have to retire and they have to die to their work and they go crazy. Right? I mean, I know parishioners who, you know, retired, you know. They retired and then they come to say, "Oh, Father, I'm going nuts." I said, "You're retired. You're supposed to be enjoying your retirement." I can't. "I don't know what to do with myself." Because you have not yet learned to die to the busyness, the money making, the all of those things that you've done for so many years of your life. Now it's time to die to that, to live as a retired person. See, you get the point. So why is it, my brothers and sisters, are we so afraid of death? It's part of us. It's part of the world. It's part of this life. I was at the hospital visiting the sick, and I walked down the corridor. There was a family hanging outside the door of one of the rooms. Very, very unique because, you know, at the hospital of the elderly, not too many people visit. In this case, I saw like a whole family hanging outside, and I said, and the family members saw me, my clerics waved at me and said, "Oh, Father, can you say a prayer for our mother in the room?" You know? And I said, "Sure, I'll be right down." And the children said, "Oh, no, don't come down here. Don't come down here. Just say a prayer for our mother because we don't want her to be scared." Don't come down here. We don't want her to be scared. Just say your prayer, of course. I came down anyway, went into the room, and turned out it was a lady who was 96 years old. She was 96, and she was not afraid of death. It was her children that were afraid of death, and they were projecting their fear of death onto their elderly mother. Oh, she was so happy to see me. I gave her the last rites, and she was like, oh, thank you, Father. I looked at the children. Die! Of course, I didn't say that, but that's the lesson of today's gospel, my brother and sister, is that we must learn to die. Until we die, we cannot live. Live the true life that God gives to us. And yet, we are so scared. Why? The story of salvation is like this. I told you that we are kidnapped, right? It's like we're kidnapped by the devil. And God the Father sent the elder son to bring the ransom. Okay? And of course, the elder son is our Lord Jesus. So he comes to bring the ransom. And the ransom, of course, is his own suffering and death on the cross for us. In order to do what? In order to bring us home to the Father. That's the complete story. Okay? So the elder son didn't come just to suffer and die and say, okay, now, you know, whatever. No. He came and he goes back to the Father and he brings us with him back to the Father. Okay? Ransomed us from the devil, the kidnapper. But here's the problem. Have you heard of the Stockholm Syndrome? Have you heard of the Stockholm Syndrome? The Stockholm Syndrome is the case, it's a mental disorder where the kidnapped victims in time became amorous with the kidnapper. It's a mental disorder. So that the kidnapped victim no longer want to go home. The kidnapped victim say, what's wrong with this? He's nice to us. He feeds us. We become friends. It's been many years now. It's a real disease. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome. You haven't heard of it, you can look it up after Mass. But that's what, my brothers and sisters, we are suffering from, a spiritual Stockholm Syndrome. And that is, the Father has sent the oldest brother to come, pay the ransom, to bring us home. What do? We say, no thanks. We like it here. It's not so bad here. Tell the Father to send more money. That's what's going on. We all walking around saying, I don't want to die. No, I don't want to die. God, give me more grace. But no dying. Because I like it here. Since I was young, I don't know why I have this crazy idea, but I always thought, I would love it if I die at 33. Because our Lord died at the age of 33. I don't know how I got the idea, so I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I turned 33 and I die that year? And I turned 33 and I didn't die. I was very disappointed. But this year, my hope meter went up again, because this year I'm celebrating my 33rd anniversary as a priest. So I am this year 33 years old as a priest, and I'm like, Maybe this year I get to go home to my father. This is the way it is, sisters and brothers. We are in exile. We don't belong here. We are dying. And we must learn to die well. And when we die well, then we will live. We will live that life that the Father gives to us, that our eldest brother has paid the ransom for us to live. But why are we so scared? Back to the problem. Well, the reason, one of the main reasons why we're so scared is because of the trick of the devil. We talked about him, and we cannot ignore him because he is the saboteur. Sabotage us, right? So he sowed the seeds of fear in us. Be afraid, be scared of death. Don't die. You can live here. Live with me. And so that brings us to this prayer. Everybody, the devil not only affects us, but our loved ones as well. And not only our loved ones, but they cling on to the family tree. So we are going to ask God to free us from this. So everybody, let's kneel. We can say this prayer together. Together now. Heavenly Father, I come before you as your child. In great need of your help. I have physical health needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, and interpersonal needs. Many of my problems have been caused by my own failures, neglect, and sinfulness, for which I humbly beg your forgiveness, Lord. But I also ask you to forgive the sins of my ancestors, whose failures have left their effects on me in the form of unwanted tendencies, behavioral patterns, and defects in body, mind, and spirit. Heal me, Lord, of all these disorders. With your help, I sincerely forgive everyone, especially living or dead members of my family tree, who have directly offended me or my loved ones in any way, or those whose sins have resulted in our present sufferings and disorders. In the name of your divine Son, Jesus, and in the power of his Holy Spirit, I ask you, Father, to deliver me and my entire family tree from the influence of the evil one. Free all living and dead members of my family tree, including those in adoptive relationships and those in extended family relationships, from every contaminating form of bondage. By your loving concern for us, Heavenly Father, and by the shed blood for your precious Son, Jesus, I beg you to extend your blessing to me and all my living and deceased relatives. Heal every negative effect transmitted through all past generations and prevent such negative effects in future generations of my family tree. I symbolically place the cross of Jesus over the head of each person in my family tree and between each generation. I ask you to let the cleansing blood of Jesus purify the bloodlines of my family lineage. Set your protective angels to encamp around us, and permit Archangel Raphael, the patron of healing, to administer your divine healing power to all of us, even in areas of genetic disability. Give special power to our family members, guardian angels, to heal, protect, guide, and encourage each of us in all our needs. Let your healing power be released at this every moment. Let it continue as long as your sovereignty permits. In our family tree, Lord, replace all bondage with a holy bonding in family love. And let there be an ever deeper bonding with you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit to your Son, Jesus. Let the family of the Holy Trinity pervade our family with its tender, warm, loving presence, so that our family may recognize and manifest the love in all our relationships. All of our unknown needs we include with this petition that we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.